course, just like here on Earth, it's a wonderful place. In America is a wonderful place compared to all the other places. And there's lots of things like that. But if you got Jesus in your heart, that makes America better. That makes your home better. That makes our church better. And so Jesus makes it all better. Same way with heaven. We're going to see some things that make heaven awesome. But what makes it better is that Jesus is there. And when I see Him face to face. So let's take our Bible and turn to John 14. John 14. The title of my sermon is this: Some Questions About Heaven. Some questions about heaven. Now, there are some questions that I'm able to answer with 100% certainty. I can show you in black and white. Then there are some questions about heaven that I can answer with some, you know, let's say 85% certainty because I have a human brain and I'm not God. And we can see some things in some verses, and we can, you know, again, we're going to see a verse in a minute that says you can't overemphasize or over-exaggerate heaven. You know, you just can't. It's beyond our imagination, okay? So we're going to see some of those verses like that. Then there are some verses that it'll say something about heaven. And again, with my human brain and my limited human brain and not being God, I'm not going to be able to answer them. All right? And so that's what, when we get to those type of things, that's why the Bible says the mysteries belong to God. So there are some things that He's made it possible for us to know with 100% certainty about heaven. There's some verses that He'll allude to some things and make us go, it could be, it couldn't be. But again, I'm not going to create a doctrine on that, or I'm not going to fight on that. And then there's some things that I'm just like, it's just in God's hands. All right? And so again, today we're probably not going to answer all your questions about heaven that you've had in your mind from your childhood up. We're going to answer a lot of them. And that's what we're going to look at. So in John 14, 1 through 3, it says this: Let not your heart be troubled. So that kind of a statement that says, don't question it. You know, take it as truth. Let not your heart be troubled. Because there's people out there today that are, I wonder if heaven's real. I wonder if I'm going there. And they have questions. This verse right here, John 14, 1 through 3, he says here, let not your heart be troubled. And he goes on to say, you believe in God. Or you believe in God. You believe also in me. And this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition, it'll be in red letters. He said, okay, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want you to be questioning things. If you believe in God, and you believe also in me, it says here, in my Father's house, talking about heaven where God is, are many mansions. And again, I've heard songs, you know, just give me a cabin on the hillside, or just, you know, maybe even worse than that, just give me a cardboard box as long as I'm there. I'm on the winning side, all right? And winners get a mansion, okay? And so we can let not our heart be troubled. Now, I think maybe, again, this is me. I can't show you in a verse. The Bible talks about how that, you know, if you live your life and you live it surrendered to God and you do His will, and you don't do it in the flesh, and you don't do it for self-gratification, and you don't become a Pharisee about it. You do it in the Spirit. You'll be rewarded for that. So now, I don't know if our rewards translate into our mansions. And it may make our mansions bigger. It all may be cookie-cutter mansions. You know, you see some subdivisions, every house about this far apart, and they all look the same. All right? That's not for me. But anyway, I don't know. This is some things. But it says here, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So Jesus is not making it up. He's not a liar. And it says, I go to prepare a place. Okay, so a place. So a place in a place, a mansion in heaven. Those are both places for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, and the Bible says Jesus, after He died and rose again, He sat down on the right hand of the Father, and where I am, ye may be also. So heaven is for real. It is a place. And the Bible says, and Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. So these questions, we can answer them. We're going to answer some of them today. We can allude to some and just let the Holy Spirit go with that. And then there's some, we just have to take it at face value and believe it by faith. So I've heard many questions about heaven. I've heard, and I'm just going to list some of them. And again, if some of them you've questioned, thought this, that's great. If some of them, you know, you might want to raise your hand and I'll call yours out. But anyway, Is it a real place? I've heard that question. Where is it? I've heard that question. When Christians die, do they go there immediately? Because there's some religions out there that have made up some other stuff. You know, purgatory and, you know, working your way out of it and things like that. There's some religions that you just die. And if enough of your relatives get baptized for you, that'll get you into heaven. I have not read any of that in this book. Okay, but when a Christian dies, does he go there immediately? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Yes. But anyway, does everyone go to heaven when they die? Yeah. These are questions. How long does it take to get there? All right. Will we know our relatives and our friends when we get there? Will we be known? What will we look like when we get to heaven? You know, I've heard some teaching on this, that we're all going to be 33-year-old dudes. All right? Because the Bible says we'll be like him. And he was 33 when he went there. You know, again, that's just some things we just got to live. Let God have. What will we look like when we get to heaven? What will we be doing when we get to heaven? Because obviously there's those of us that have hobbies that we really enjoy. All right? And we're wondering, are we going to get to hunt when we get to heaven? Are we going to get to fish when we get to heaven? Are we going to be able to go shopping when we get to heaven? And that, we all lost all the dudes there, okay, hopefully. All right, hunting and fishing was for us. But anyway, I like to shop. I like to go buy what I want and leave. I don't like a window shop. I don't like to look around. You know, I'm just looking. No, I'm not. Okay, I'm there to buy this. This is what I need. I'm going to go buy it, and I'm leaving as fast as I can. But anyway, what will we be doing when I get to heaven? So a lack of knowledge causes doubt and misunderstanding and sometimes sadness. And so Wednesday night we talked about analyzing the Bible and getting confident with it. And the Bible says we can have strong confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves. We haven't apprehended, we haven't arrived, but we can have strong confidence in the Lord. And so knowing I have confidence this morning, if I passed out or died right now, in front of y'all, that I would immediately go to heaven. I have confidence in that. Why? Because this is what this book says. Now, what I'll look like, where I'll be, all that kind of stuff, I got some, I can see. But I know without a shadow of doubt, and that's what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, you believe in God, you believe in me also. I'm going to prepare you a mansion. Black and white in the Bible. God, Jesus is up there preparing us a mansion. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So he said in the first part, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be questioning. And here's another, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I would not have ye be ignorant, brethren. So obviously Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica. And he's like, I don't want y'all ignorant about this. Save people. He's talking to the brethren. And so God wants us to not let our heart be troubled. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about it. So he teaches us some things. So I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, of course, this sleep right here is a death. Okay, that's what they called it back then. They're asleep. Now, some of you, when you're asleep, people poke you. They put their hand up under here, see if they can feel your air coming in and out because you look like you're dead. You know, mouth open. I mean, you're done. And they're poke, poke. Now, that is a deep sleep, okay? But anyway, this sleep right here obviously translates. I won't have you ignorant, brethren, about those that have passed away. Where are they? Where'd they go? God doesn't want us ignorant about that. It says here that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So, my granny was saved. And when my granny passed away, yes, I was sad. Why? Because when I went to her house, it was called Granny's Rules. All right? If mom and dad said no popsicle, Granny's Rules trumped that. You could have a popsicle. All right? If mom and dad said you got to go to bed at 8:30, Granny's Rules trump that. You can stay up as late as you wanted. I liked going to my grandmother's house, okay? And again, they can bicker that out when they get to heaven, both of them, anyway. Anyway, but it says here, I don't want you ignorant about these people that pass away, because if they were saved and you're saved, you got God's Word on it, you're going to see each other again. And it says here, don't sorrow. Yes, miss them, but no, you're going to see them again. But then it says here, those that have no hope, if their granny wasn't saved and they're not saved, they won't see each other again. That's those people that can sorrow. They don't have a hope. But if you're saved and granny's saved, you're going to see each other again. We have that promise. So here's a couple questions real quickly. Is heaven a real place? The Bible teaches that heaven is a real, literal, physical place. Some people call it a state of mind. Okay? And those same people might sit Indian style and grip their fingers together like this with their pinky out and close their eyes and go hum. Okay? I think that's called meditation. Some Buddhists and, big belly people try to do that. But anyway, they think it's just a state of mind. Why? Because you're going to come back as a butterfly. Or you're going to come back as, Aunt Susie's house cat. Just stuff that's not in here. Okay? All right? Heaven is not a state of mind. It's a literal, physical place. I'll give you some verses. I like to do that. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasure. We talked about this a little bit ago, about those rewards. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Now, this is not saying don't have a savings account, don't have a 401k, don't have a retirement plan. You can have all those things. That's pretty smart. The Bible says to be a good steward with your money. Okay? Now, don't not tithe to build your 401k. I think God would put a curse upon you. But anyway, we see here that... But it gives us this connotation that, work for stuff that's out there, not for down here. If you have to, differentiate. So it says here, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. So again, if we save stuff down here, the Bible says moths, they'll eat holes in your clothes. Rust, obviously, will cause things to decay. And then sometimes people will just steal it. I remember I got a go-kart for Christmas one time. I think I was in sixth grade, and that was when the General Lee was very popular in my town. All right, so of course that was my go-kart's name, okay? And I ramped it and done donuts and all that kind of stuff. I tried the little two-wheel thing. I couldn't get it good. But anyway, I love that thing. Went outside one morning, it was gone. I'm looking. And, I was devastated. And so I was over at my uncle's house about a week later, and I see this go-kart coming up the road. It's mine. That's mine. And so I waved the kid down, and he said, "Hey, where'd you get that?" "Oh, my brother gave it to me." "How old's your brother?" "Oh, he's 19. He just brought it home the other day." "Ah, where do you live?" "Oh, in that house over there." "Okay." So when my dad got home, I told my dad. He went over there and talked to dad and said, "We won't call the cops and press any charges if you'll just give it back." All right. And so I got it back. Praise God. So, but I understand things that get stolen. All right. But the Bible says, don't worry about so much down here that you lay up treasures down here. Why? Because it's going to deteriorate. You can't take it with you. It might even get stolen. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. So this verse, it says in heaven. It's a real place. In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. The Bible talks about some of those stuff being incorruptible up there. Corruptible down here. Where thieves do not break through and steal. And nobody can steal it up there. So it would not be in heaven if heaven wasn't a place. I won't take time to read these verses, but you can read the entire chapter of Revelation 21. And 22. And it describes heaven. And it gives things like this. The foundation is garnished with precious stones. Here your foundation is dirt, concrete, right? Maybe some wood. Up in heaven, I don't know if it's concrete with precious stones in it. Don't know. But it is garnished with precious stones. Walls, tubefore, sheetrock, mud, paint. You might have some metal and things like that. But up there, they're made of jasper. Gates or doors, wood, metal, screen, glass. Up there, they're made of pearl. Out here, roads, gravel or dirt, gravel, pavement, concrete. Up there, they're made of gold, what we have on our fingers. So pure that it's see-through, the Bible says. The measurements in here, I'm not sure what the measurements of this room are. May have to figure that out. But anyway, the measurements in heaven, it says it's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. And again, our mind starts going, where did they put all these mansions? things like that. But it is a real place. So, is heaven a real place? Yes. Number two, what kind of place is heaven? What kind of place is heaven? There's places that some of y'all have visited this year already. What kind of place is it? Oh, it's a beautiful place. The weather's perfect. All right? It never rains. It's not too hot. There's no bugs. You know, where is this place? I think Hawaii. I've never been there. But anyway, some of you have visited amusement parks. It's a place of amusements. It's a place. Some of you have visited restaurants. It's a place of food. That's what we're talking about here. What type of place is heaven? A couple things here. Number one, I said this earlier, it is an indescribable place. So, I mean, I just said foundations garnished with precious stones, gates of pearl, streets of gold. It's huge, a 1,500 square mile cube. All right? I've just given you some descriptions, but the Bible says it is undescribable. I think, obviously, John the Revelator got to see glimpses of it. Of course, Jesus has seen glimpses of it. But the Bible says it is indescribable, the beauty of it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says here, "I have not seen." Again, you've seen some beautiful places. Some of you have been to Hawaii, and you're like, it is beautiful. Some of you have lived and been to Alaska, and you say, it is beautiful. Some of you have seen the Grand Canyon, and it is grand. And it is a canyon, all right? And you say, but it is beautiful. The thing that freaked me out about it out there was there's, you know, not a lot of safety guards. I mean, one oops and you could be done, all right? You know, it seemed like they'd have like, you know, netting and, you know, do not approach, but it's just grand and pretty to look at. But anyway, we see that there's places like that, but you can describe those. You can describe Hawaii, and you can describe the Grand Canyon, and you can describe Alaska, and you can describe the Rocky Mountains and Pikes Peak, and I could just go on and on. But the Bible says here that heaven, I have not seen. There's nothing to compare it to. So all the wonders of the world and all the beautiful places that we can see, the Bible says that heaven is so far past that. Undescribable. I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither entered into the heart of man. Right now, I told my wife, of course, I think we're going to have to remodel each inch of our house. All right, but and I've got a good start on it. But anyway, I told her that you know, I got to get my tools, my workbench set up first. You know, I don't want to do all this with a pair of pliers I found under my truck seat and a screwdriver I found out in the yard rusted. You know, I'd be aggravated as all get out trying to do something with, you know. So I got to get my domain. In other words, entered in the heart of man. Okay? So again, those of you that know me, I have a little bit or a lot of OCD. Okay? Probably more of a lot. Okay? But my workbench is in the exact center of the garage now. And there's two shelves on either side that I had to put back together. Some of you know that they fell apart as we moved. But I took them all apart, put them right back together. And they are screwed to the wall the exact same distance away from my workbench. And all of my tools, it enters into my heart. And above my workbench is a pegboard. And it kills me every time I go out there. There's nothing hanging on it yet. All right, I got to get my wrenches and my stuff. But above it is a piece of plywood that has every rack from 8 point under that I've killed since I was 12 years old on that. I look at it like, this is it. Perfect measurements. All right, in the center. Racks, like it. Okay, that entered in my heart. So again, the Bible says that eye hasn't seen heaven, nor ears have heard. It hasn't even entered in our heart how awesome it's going to be. How, you know, again, the Bible says let all things be done decently and in order. So I think God probably has a little bit of OCD too. So I'm sure that He's done it in order up there. But it hasn't even entered into our heart the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. So, as quirky as I am about my stuff on the inside of that house, I changed out a bunch of knobs the other day in the kitchen. Why? Because they were brass. And brass is out. Brass is not farmhouse. I don't know what farmhouse is. I thought there was chickens and cows. No. But anyway, farmhouse. So I took every one of those knobs off and put matte black. Cool looking knobs on everything in that kitchen. Why? Because I love my wife. And I want her to be happy. And I guess they said, happy wife, happy life, and now they've messed it all up because there's all kinds of different variations of that going on out there. You know, happy spouse, happy house. You know, so your spouse can be whatever. But anyway, craziness. But I love her and I want her happy too. She don't have to come to the garage. Matter of fact, don't. I'm good. But I want her happy. And the Bible says here, you know, your eyes hadn't seen anything. Your ears hadn't seen. You can't even imagine the little touches that God has put in your mansion. When you get there, you know, you've seen these, you know, flipper house things on TV. They go in, oh, so, you know. There's words they say over and over, you know. I can't even remember some of them. But anyway, they just freak out in every room. When you go into your mansion, you're going to just be bawling, if you're like me, that God loved you that much. He fixed it for you. So we see here a little boy was looking up into the sky, and he was looking at the stars at night, and he was looking at the clouds during the daytime when it was blue and white. And he made this statement, and it's so true. He's like, wow, if heaven's this pretty on the outside, I wonder what it looks like on the inside. And that's what that verse is saying. No way to compare it. No way to imagine it. No way to out or describe it. You cannot do it. And the songwriter fit it perfect too. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Heaven, what kind of place is it? It's a place that's undescribable. Secondly, we see here it's a place of rest. The Bible even says perfect rest. Sometimes you're just like, oh, if I could just get to my recliner, oh, that would be great. And you get there and you stretch back and all of a sudden you feel a little cold, wet hand on you. Daddy, oh, you just dropped off to sleep. All right? No interruptions. Perfect rest. It says that in Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead which die, here's the key, in the Lord. Got to be saved in the Lord. For henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So if you look back and remember what the Bible said about the Garden of Eden, there wasn't any work going on in the Garden of Eden. There wasn't any alarm clocks in the Garden of Eden. There wasn't any time clocks in the Garden of Eden. I mean, they just had it made. But then they sinned, and then they had to start working. So heaven will be a perfect place. There will be no worries. There will be no schedules to keep. There won't be any of those time clocks to keep or alarm clocks that mess up that perfect rest. Heaven is a place of perfect rest. So it's a place undescribable. It's a place of perfect rest. Here's one. It's a place of open vision. Open vision. Now you think, okay, yeah, 1,500 miles, I can see it. No. Open vision, this is what it means. The Bible talks about how God sees things. And He sees everything. That same vision that He has will get it. So we won't have to let our heart be troubled. We won't be ignorant anymore. We will see and know just like He knows. And so the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So when you think you see that verse and it says all things work together for good, not all things are good. Cancer is not good. Sickness is not good. Getting fired is not good. Having disappointments is not good. But the verse says all things work together for good. So if you get fired, God meant for it to happen. How you respond to it, what you do after, is the good. If you lose somebody, yes, miss them, mourn. But the Bible says you'll be comforted by God, and you'll see them again if both of you are saved. It works together for good. So my father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul I am glad I know He maketh no mistake. So that's exactly when we get to heaven, all those things we wonder, why God did you let that happen? You'll know. Open vision. You were smarter than me. I should have trusted you. And so heaven is the place of open vision. And the last thing about heaven, we will know what He knows. So not only will we see like God sees, we will know like God knows. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. So things, sometimes you get double pane windows and it gets moisture inside there. You can't see out of it. You're looking, can't. Or you get up and it's, cold inside because your AC is working, praise the Lord. And it's hot outside and causes that moisture and you can't see through it. Sometimes that's the way we look at life. But the Bible says when we get to heaven, it won't be looking like that glass darkly, because when we're face to face, it says here, now I know in part. We know a little bit of things. We know part of things. But it says, but then when I get to heaven, shall I know even as also I am known. And that kind of confuses it. The way God knows you, He knows you better than you know yourself. He definitely knows you better than anybody else. So as He sees you and as He knows about you, that's how we'll know. So He will know us. He knows us better than anybody. So is heaven a real place? Yes. What kind of heaven will it be? It'll be an indescribable place, a perfect rest, an open vision, a perfect knowledge place. Number three, do saved people go there immediately? Do saved people go there immediately? In other words, you realize you're a sinner. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. What He did on the cross, dying and resurrecting for you. You accepted that. You are saved. The Bible says that person immediately, if not sooner, I don't know how that is, but I've been told that all my life. Do that immediately, if not sooner. I don't think it can be. But anyway, the Bible says we immediately go to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So as soon as our soul and spirit leaves this flesh, leave this body, the Bible says we are immediately with the Lord. Now, this is where we kind of, because if we look at the Bible says that that body that goes in the ground will be resurrected. And it will go back up there. And we will get reunited with that soul and spirit, but then we'll get a new body because that one will be a little deteriorated, amen, and so forth. But again, but the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is two places that a Christian can be: in this body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, or to be with the Lord. That's it. There's no other places. You can read this King James Bible from cover to cover. You will not find the word purgatory. You will not find a place where you go and stay in limbo. Okay, it says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 1:3 says this. Paul said, I am a strait betwixt. Okay, we don't speak like that. He's like, I'm in a dilemma. I don't know what to do. It says here, between two things. I have a desire to depart. In other words, to die and go be with Jesus. To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's kind of like, Lazarus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He was with Jesus for 4 days. Or he was in heaven for 4 days, and then Jesus called him back to the earth. Like, time out. Do I get a choice in the matter? Why? Because it's far better. So, man is not a body. This is not us. This is our flesh. This is a body that we embody. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, God created mankind, in His own image and breathed into His nostrils, and he became a living body? No. A living spirit? No. A living soul. Our soul is who we are. Our soul is what we are. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those people at the church at Thessalonica, Paul's like, I'm praying for you. All right, I want your body, soul, and spirit to be blameless. In other words, don't have a bad testimony. Okay, if you're a Christian, I'm praying that you be blameless until Jesus comes. Don't have a bad testimony. I'm also praying that you not only not have a bad testimony, I'm praying that you're not a stumbling block. Okay? So you're supposed to be a Christian. Be a good testimony. Don't even cause people to wonder. Don't even cause people to be confused. I don't even want you to be a stumbling block until Jesus comes. So when man dies, his soul and his spirit leaves this body and goes immediately, if not sooner, to be with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that's what the Bible says about the people go immediately to heaven. Yes. Then next, next question is this. Will we know each other in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? Now, the first time I read that verse about where we won't be given in marriage and we won't be married, I like being married to her. I wouldn't ask her if I didn't want to be. And obviously made those vows in front of God in the church that I would stay with her forever. And so I want to be there. But the Bible says we won't be married or given in marriage in heaven. That's one of those questions. But then it says we'll be known as we're known. So Luke 13:28 says this. Will we know each other in heaven? Luke 13:28 says this. When ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. So God is not a respecter of persons. So if he let Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those prophets keep their name and keep their identity, he's going to let us keep our identity and our name. The Bible says we'll get new names when we get to heaven. And it's kind of like, I've always, with kids, give them nicknames. All right? And so God may have nicknames for us. We don't know. Luke 9:33, the Mount Transfiguration is where this is found. In Luke 9:33, and of course, Jesus was there, Moses was there, and Elijah was there, and Peter got to see that. And just like old Peter always does, this started running. Oh, no, is it good for me to be here? I don't know if I should be seeing this. Oh, my goodness. Let me build some altars, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you, Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to leave you out. But he knew Moses and Elijah, and they had come from heaven, and Moses and Elijah knew each other, and that was hundreds of years apart. They got to keep their name. They never met while they were down here on earth. 1 Corinthians 13:12, I shall know even as also I am known. So I think, according to these verses, that we will know each other like we do down here on earth. Number 5, will we have a body in heaven? And this is what we were talking about a while ago. That soul and that spirit and being present with Jesus. That body going into the ground and decaying. And the Bible even goes into great detail about the worm gnawing on it and all that stuff. But anyway, but this soul and this spirit will go to heaven. So will we have a body in heaven? Luke 16 says here, the rich man saw Lazarus. The Bible says afar off, because the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in heaven. And I don't know if for this instance or for all the instances, Lazarus looked up and saw Lazarus. And it says here, he was in Abraham's bosom. And I don't know if it would be hard to have a chest without having a body. Okay, and Lazarus was laying on Abraham's bosom. And then he says, hey, I'm thirsty. Paraphrasing here, dip the tip of your finger in that water and put it on my tongue because I'm in torment. So we see here that Abraham had a chest. And he also, Lazarus had a finger. So unless they're just walking around with fingers floating through the air and chest protruding around, they have a body. So 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this body, our earthly house, is of this tabernacle, in other words, we have the Holy Spirit living and inside of us when we're saved, we're dissolved, and we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So here's where you have to start thinking. Okay, we have a physical, fleshly body. We come out of it, soul and spirit. That body goes in the ground, soul and spirit immediately goes to heaven. But then one day when the resurrection takes place, we'll get a new body and a new spirit and all that stuff. So this is where, but this verse says that we'll have a body up in heaven, not made with hands, in the heavens. So we'll get a new body. There'll be a new earth created. There'll be a new heaven. And the Bible says then all things will become new. But until then, it says here we have a heavenly body, not made with hands. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So again, it says it in the Bible. The graves will open. Anybody that's saved, their body will come out of that ground. Now, on my license, it says donor. So if I die, somebody can have my eyeballs. Somebody can have any organs that are still functionable. Anything they need. Okay? But when this happens, if that person's not saved, my eyeball's coming out of him. All right? My heart's coming out of him. It's kind of like those two people in the field. One's going to be gone. The other one's going to be like, what happened? If somebody gets my eyes that are not saved, they're going to be like, what happened? So, we see, that's what the Bible says. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Acts 24:15. And there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So, both the saved and the unsaved coming out that ground. And now, the saved people get to go to heaven and stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Those unsaved will stand up and go stand at the great white throne judgment. And they'll be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. John 5, 28-29 says, marvel not. So I just told you some stuff. Okay, huh? Man, new bodies, new eyeballs going from there to there. Coming out of the ground. The Bible says, don't freak out about it. That's what marvel not means in redneck translation. Okay, don't freak. What? Oh, no, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming that in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. So both coming out of the grave. Saved, going to heaven forever. Lost, going to hell forever. Job 19:25 through 27 says here, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. I know Jesus is coming back. And though after my skin, here's where it gets kind of a worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see. So Job, that lived back in the Bible times, knows this, that my body's been in the ground since B.C., before Christ. And worms been chewing on it for a while. Yet, one day, Jesus is going to be standing here, and my body's going to be called back out of that grave, and I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. So we see that Job knows he's going to get that new body one day. 2 Corinthians 5:1, earthly bodies that are in the grave. That's what we read a while ago. Then secondly, we see God bodies not made by hands. Some people might call them temporary bodies, that the soul and the spirit embody until they get the new body. We don't know exactly. But again, we know there's no purgatory. There's no getting saved or getting baptized for somebody. You need to take care of it. So when we get there. So the new body, 1 John 3:2 says this, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So we don't know exactly. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him like, or we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So our new body is going to be just like Jesus's. Philippians 3:20 and 21 say, our body will be fashioned like His glorious body. So there's what we know about, according to the Bible, about our bodies in heaven. And the last one, I think maybe two more. Got to go quickly. Do the saved in heaven know what is happening on the earth? I've heard this asked a lot. And most time it comes from a person that's not living right, because they don't want granny to see what they're doing. So they're asking, does people up in heaven see what we do? If we tip one back, do they see that? If we puff on one, do they see that? If we say a word we're not supposed to, because granny, well, she would turn over in her grave. She'd come down and spank me for saying that word. Does people in heaven see? This is one of those things. We'll take what the Bible says. Luke 15, 7 and 10 tells us that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over the 99 just persons who do not need repentance. So according to the Bible, when you get saved, they know about it in heaven. Somehow, some way. And it says here they rejoice. And so we have had people saved at this altar. We have had people saved back there in that Sunday school class. We've had people saved in my office. According to the Bible, in heaven, the Bible says they were rejoicing. They knew it. Here's a couple other verses. Revelation 6, 9 and 10. For with the fifth seal, when the fifth seal was opened, I saw under the altar of souls them that were slain for the word of God. Okay, so these people died standing up for this Bible. I mean, the Bible talks about how they were burned. They were burned at the stake. They were beheaded. All these people, they're in heaven now. And then when that fifth seal is open, it says here, the word of God for the testimony which they held. And that's why the Bible is a big deal. All right? I mean, people died for it. It's not a money maker. It's not a book of the month club. It's the word of God. And so it says here, they cried with a loud voice. Those people that are in heaven that died for this book, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So I believe, according to that verse, those people that died for this book right here, this very book right here, when they see some group of people say, hey, let's take these verses and these verses and these verses out of it because that preaches against our sin, and they make up a new Bible, they're up in heaven saying, God, why are you letting that happen? I shed my blood for that book. When are you going to avenge? So according to this verse, the people that died for this book sees when this gets messed with. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And of course, if you read chapter 11, that's by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith. It's what we know as the great faith chapter. You know, okay, according to that, then it's only those people. So 17 people is that great cloud of witnesses can see what's going on down here on earth. At least 17 of them. So, I'm just giving you what the verses say. So we do not know if they see our sin, but it would be better just not, because you know who does see it? God. I mean, it breaks my heart to think my grandmother would see me do something stupid. But in context, it should break my heart that God sees me doing something stupid. So let's not have that mentality. God sees everything. And it says here, in sorrow over murder and the wickedness that's going on in this world. We don't know if they see that, because the Bible says that they don't cry up there. There's no sorrow up there. We don't know what they see. But Luke 15:10 says that they rejoiced in the salvation over one. So what we do know for sure is that anytime somebody gets saved, heaven knows about it. So let's just get busy getting people saved. All right, last one. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? The Bible says heaven is in a fixed location in the sides of the north. For all of you that are from the north, you're like, I knew it. We're the best. We're from the north, and the Bible says heaven is on the sides of the north. All right? Now, some of us say, okay, which way is north? All right? Not necessarily, okay? All right? Because it might work on this side of the world. If we said, hey, heaven's north, but what if we were in China? Okay, for them to point that way, they'd have to be pointing. It'd be down for them. And I know everybody looks, hey, come up north or come down south. I get it. It's just in our brain. But the Bible says that heaven is on the side of the north. Here's a verse, Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Promotion. In other words, obviously blessing, promotion, or being promoted from this life to this one. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west. I hate this one, nor from the south, because that's where I'm from. So promotion comes not neither from the north or the east or the west, nor the south. And that's all it says. There's no north. It says here, but God is the judge and putteth down one and setteth up another. So the reason they left out north from this verse is because God in heaven is on the sides of the north. And it says here, but God judged and putteth down one and setteth up another. So some of the Calvinistic people and some of the people that God plays favorites, it's not what this verse is saying. God doesn't pick some for salvation and pick some for hell and pick some to bless and pick some to curse. No. Read what the verse says. Promotion comes from neither the east or the west nor the south, but God, and here it is the judge. He judges first. They accepted my son, heaven. They didn't accept my son, hell. They're in that secret place that we talked about in Sunday school. They're doing right, bless. They could care less about me and my word and my opinion, and they're going to do their own thing, curse. But he judges first. That promotion comes from the north. Isaiah 14, 12 through 7. Satan said, I will exalt my throne above God's throne. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Here it is. I will go to the sides of the north. So even when Satan was going to try to take over heaven, he said it's on the sides of the north. Now, according to the Bible, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Not trying to get you to marvel or to freak out. First heaven, according to the Bible, is what we see, the atmosphere, the stars, the universe, what we see. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is above that. And then the third heaven is the actual place. And then there will be actually a fourth one day, because all that will be destroyed, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth that we'll live in forever. So, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's talking about that, the stars and what we see. Man has located in his powerful telescope 5 million light years away the furthest star. Anybody ever seen it through a telescope? Okay. All right. People have. They've documented it. Then they say light travels 186,000 miles per second. I mean, booking it. Okay. So, not even per second. If we could go 186,000 miles an hour, it would take us 5 million years to get to that farthest star. And the Bible, I'm just trying to put you in perspective here. The Bible says heaven is above that. Crazy. Who is going to heaven? Everybody? Those who have read the Bible and prayed? Those who have lived good and kept the Ten Commandments? Those who faithfully attend church and gets baptized? Those who suffer enough down here? Mm-mm. We're right here in Taylorsville, Kentucky. All right, I think I got everybody, unless you're a visitor. Some of you came from Lawrenceburg this morning. And we can hear some whoop whoops. All right. Some of you came from Elk Creek. Some of you came from Mount Eden. Some of you came from Mount Washington. And if I leave you out, please don't get mad at me. All right. Some of you came from Louisville. I said it right. Louisville, not Louisville. I was corrected quickly on that. All right. Louisville. All right. Some of you came from Finchville. And when is it Vool and Veal? Okay. Finchville, Finchville. All right, but anyway, some of you came from Fisherville. Some of you came from Shelbyville. And two new ones, whoop, whoop, we came from Chaplin. All right? Anybody I left out? I'll let you give yourself a representative here. Huh? Bloomfield? I said Bloomfield. Yeah? Did I not? Oh, I skipped it. I have Bloomfield. Anybody else? Don't want to offend anybody. All right? So, and I guarantee you, we all took different roads. Okay, if you lived out that way, you came down this way. If you lived out that way, you came this way. And if you lived down there, you came this way. We all got here, but we took different directions. But sad to say, the Bible doesn't say when we die, we all go to Taylorsville. Okay, so there are different ways to get here, depending on where you're coming from. But there's not different ways to get to heaven. There's only one. Okay? And so obviously we have two entrances of our parking lot now. So y'all might have all came from different directions, but you all had to come in there unless you drove on the grass. All right. But anyway, you all had to cross the ditch. But anyway, you had to come in there. So that's what we say. And a lot of people think, well, you know, heaven's just like anywhere else. I'll just GPS it. or it depends on where I'm at in life. No. There's only one way. The Bible says it about heaven. John 14:16. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. Not many different roads. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Only one way to get to heaven. So if that question was in your mind, am I going there? Got to be saved. How do you get saved? Now on our track out there, the Lift Up the Name of Jesus track, on the back of it that says there's three things you got to know and there's three things you got to do. The three things you got to know is you got to know you're a sinner. You got to know there's a price on sin, and you got to know that Jesus paid that price for you. And the three things you got to do, you got to believe that He's God's Son. And then you got to believe that He resurrected from the dead like we celebrated last Sunday. And the third and final thing you have to do is just call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's some questions about heaven. If you got any other ones, I enjoyed studying that. If you got some, bring them. I'll find them for you. But anyway, just like I told you, there are some black and whites and we can have confidence. There's some, says this. We'll see when we get there. We'll leave the mysteries to God. But we also saw that there's no made-up stuff. You know, how to get there. Oh, different ways. There's many different ways. Nope. Just one. Let's all have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day and thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, we thank You for Your book. And Lord, we even saw in the verse today that there's people that died for it. Lord, I just ask You to help us to live and talk about it. And Lord, I just ask You to be with everybody here today. Lord, if they've had questions about heaven, I hope Your Word answered them, not me, but Your Word. And Lord, if there is other questions, Lord, I'll do my best to find them and the Holy Spirit can teach us. But Lord, the most important question is, am I going there? And it's not many different ways, it's only one way. That's knowing that we're a sinner, knowing there's a price on sin. That price is paying our sin debt in hell. But You paid that debt for us when You died and shed Your blood and resurrected. But now, Lord, all we have to do is believe in You, believe that You died and rose again, and we just ask You simply to save our soul so that when our soul and our spirit is absent from this body, we'll be present with You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Harris is going to lead us in the invitation. Altar's open. If you need to be saved, come. I'll show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. If you want to just come pray about something, thank God for heaven, come. The altar's open.